a follow-up on the first presentation. In this case, we are bringing to the table interaction issue. So what we know about diet right now, what we call the common evidence, is that, for example, the southern residents diet from May to September, focus mainly on Chinook from Fraser Lake, Fraser Lake, and Pitsan. But we know from the northern residents diet from the same period, we know that the diet encompasses a greater number of stocks than the southern residents. And mainly composed by Chinook salmon from Fraser Lake, George Strait, or Columbia Pitsan. And not central BC stuff. So, departing from these pieces of evidence, we would like to focus the analysis of interactions within an hypothesis of this oriented frame. So, the main hypothesis that we want to evaluate, that we already evaluated, we are going to call this hypothesis 1A, which is based on the current evidence, and is that southern residents either way, population growth is going to be influenced by the terminal growth size of Fraser Lake, and Puget Sound Chinook. When it comes to the northern residents, and also based on the common evidence, the hypothesis sustains that northern residents' population growth is going to be mainly influenced by the terminal growth size, northern BC, central BC, but also by the administration of San Luis. When it comes to ocean abundance, evidence that these hypotheses are actually going to strengthen the weight of evidence that is presented on the diet status. But also, we wanted to incorporate additional hypotheses. And, so, as I said before, this is an ongoing investigation, and we wanted to also bring into the table additional hypotheses. And in this case, we don't have the diet evidence, but we can make the assumption that Chinook remains an important diet component year-round. And how do we select the stocks for that particular set of hypotheses? Well, we say that the probabilities of killer whales encountering Chinook and therefore allowing for an influence on the vital rate of killer whales depends at least on three aspects. It will depend on the size of the stock, stocks with large contribution to ocean fishing, so they will have great probability of being encountered by the spatial overlap, so those stocks displaying an ocean tide like history are most likely to be encountered because we know that the steep tide usually linger in the ocean phase of the coast. So it's less likely to be encountered by a killer. And also the temporal overlap, so that there is a possible access to the resort outside the summit. And the hypothesis that we constructed based on these criteria for the southern residents, we hypothesized that the southern resident population growth will be influenced by the terminal growth size upon the spots. And later on, at the end of the presentation, we can go to a discussion which stocks are really representing this abundance. And for the southern, in terms of ocean abundance, the hypothesis states that the southern residents grow through to be influenced by the ocean tide stocks with large contributions to ocean fishing. So, if we find some evidence supporting this hypothesis, they will have to be interpreted differently than you will interpret the hypothesis 1A and 1B, because in this case, we don't have the support of that. For the northern residents, similarly, we are assuming that the Chinook remains an important component at year round, right? And we see that the northern residents grow same-wise by the terminal cross-sites on the stocks, and by the ocean abundance of ocean type stocks with that distribution of ocean. So the approach that I introduced in the first presentation is a perturbation analysis, right? The only difference is that in this case, we are bringing out to the patient the information that we have to show. And basically trying to answer to the question, what is the sensitivity of the killer whales population growth to Chinook abundance? So the data metrics and regression models that we use are as follows. We're still using this period that we selected for different reasons, 87 and 2011. When it comes to data terminal run size, we're using the run reconstruction indices for stocks or stock aggregates that Pope and Balkan present in the first version. When it comes to ocean abundance, we're using the CPC copper abundance indices from the stocks or stock aggregates, which are the individual components of the fishery indices. In this case, instead of selecting a fishery index that selects a variety of stocks from a particular fishery, in this case, we are selecting stocks and considering those stocks across fisheries, ocean fisheries. In this case, because we have a stage structure model, we don't need to rely on logistic equations, and we can very well apply simple and multiple interpolation models. The vital rates, the abundance, and we select some lacks 0 and 1 for survival based on previous studies that found those lacks at the market. On the same token, we focus on lacks 0, 1, and 2 for fecality, just to consider the influence of nutritional stress on pregnancy. And just a little note here is that the linkages that we are going to identify in what follows in this presentation are not going to be exclusively based on statistical significance, but they are going to be selected based on their influence on observed population growth in the past and potential population. So the results, this is very interesting. We really get lots of information doing this kind of analysis of both the southern residents and the northern residents, because when we came to try to find interactions between Chinook salmon and southern residents, this is pretty much it, right? When we go to the northern resident, I will show only a subset because the hits were too many with the northern residents. So here we have two different blocks, right, of significant models, right, just based on the p-value and the coefficient of determination. And yes, there are some support for hypothesis 1A, for which there is a dynamic information. Right? And there is also several hits for hypothesis 2A that requires assumption that Chinook is still important for the preservation. An interesting observation here is that most of the interactions occur with female 2, with the fecundity and the survival of female 2, which are the old reproductive females. And this is an interesting thing that is going to take place also when we incorporate CHOM into the equation. And so there is another interesting question there for future research, why the interactions occur frequently with female 2. Now the idea is, how do we convert these interactions based on very simple relations, right? How do we convert these into effects on population growth? So I'm going to use this example of a coastwide terminal run. In this case, we are excluding here Southeast Alaska stocks, right? Because we are just considering that they are of the range of the Southeast Alaska, particularly when it comes from terminal run. And so as we can see, the coastwide terminal run is having an interaction with the survival of human 2, with the survival of male 2, and also with the fecundity of female 1. Now, any interaction with males, unfortunately, because of the demographic framework that we have, well, they don't have an influence on population growth. So taking this example and going back to our elasticities, originally we only had 7 bars, right? But now we have 2 additional bars. I will just zoom this to see the effects of Chinook, right? Those orange bars represent the portion of the elasticity that is represented by the interaction. So what we are doing here is actually measuring the elasticity of the interaction, right? So we have, at the end, the elasticity, the original elasticity that we computed before bringing Chinook into the equation has to remain the same. So that's why we have now, for example, the elasticity of survival of female 2, so the elasticity associated to other factors that we don't know, right? And the elasticity that is associated to the interaction with Chinook. So we can very well call these the elasticities of the interaction. And so this elasticity of the interaction basically is measuring in plain language is answering to the question, what is the proportional change in population growth rate as a result of proportional change in shipping capacity? So this is the main tool that we are generating in this portion of the analysis, is that this is a snapshot of the stocks with the greater potential influence on population growth. Now, elasticities are additive, and so here I just wanted to show that the evidence for hypothesis running is right there. And the relationship that we found was based on regression analysis when it comes to effect to population growth is very little, and one of the reasons is because it's the interaction, of course, with female tooth fecundity. That's what they have here. That have been represented in those interactions. But elasticities are additive, right? So, for example, here you can take the two pre-exam ocean abundance bars, stack them, and have an idea of the elasticity. That would be the overall effect in population growth. So, for example, just a mean elasticity of 0.07. For period sound ocean abundance will indicate that a 10% change in the vital rate is expected to produce a 0.7% change in population growth. So it's not that big. And in the same way,
0.7%, not additive,
but 0.7% above what it was. That's correct, yes. Yes, if the change is an increase in the vital rate, it will be an increase in population growth. But if it's an increase, yeah, when you want to estimate the effect, it's a product, right? So you multiply the relative change in the vital rate times the elasticity. But what is additive is the effect of the elasticity, the overall effect in population growth. So here, and this is a great tool, because without any kind of further simulation, right, we are identifying already those interactions with the greatest potential to influence population growth. Now, when we do the retrospective analysis, we also find that the evidence for hypothesis 1A, right, which is the interaction between a southern resident killer whale vital rate and the terminal role of Fraser area period sound, is very small. Right? But we see that the influence in the past, right, I mean, how this interaction has influenced in the past the observed population growth rate. Right? Now we see that period sound and WCDI terminal. So, the selection at the end is not based completely, as I said before, on statistical significance, but it's going to be based on the potential effect on population growth and on the past effect on population growth. So, those are selected interactions that we are going to use when it comes to the PDA of selected fishing scenario. So this is just an idea. I mean, why WCDI here increases in the past the importance, the relative contribution, is because it has varied more than period sound ocean abundance, for example. Okay? We can see that here. So the retrospective analysis is measured also, it takes into consideration the variation of this particular variable. So for the northern residents, as I said, the hits are so many, and I'm not going to spend lots of time here because I know that this is more focused on a southern resident. And just to give an idea how important and how these interactions can really be for the northern residents. Right? They are stronger in nature, and they occur with a larger number of stocks. And there is a greater support for hypothesis 1B, for which we have direct support. In this case, northern BC terminal one, I think that is important for that hypothesis, WCDI terminal one, Fraser area ocean abundance, and everything that is not in that box corresponds to hypothesis 2. And when we go to the past, then we also can see that in this case, the order of the influence changes. And this is the sort of thing that we have to consider when it comes to selecting the maximum effects. Right? So this is how this particular stocks or stock aggregates that we identify as important, what is the trying to tell us about. So this is what we found for hypothesis 1A. We found that a small portion of the variability of the candidate for the reproductive fields is explained by the determinant wrong space gradient in sound. But this influence on observed and potential population growth is small, right? When we see to the past, right, we see that only 0.02% of the contribution to the observed coefficient of variation in the population growth is explained by this interaction. And when we see to the future, the elasticity is only 0.01, almost negligible. So when we go to hypothesis 2A, for which we need the assumption that she looks important year round, so the maximum effect we found in the interaction between period sound, ocean abundance, and the survival of young and old females. And in this case, we can see that it's still small, but it's a substantially greater than it was for hypothesis 1A. In this case, this interaction contributed 1.59% to the observed coefficient of variation in population growth. And the elasticity is elasticity of 0.07. So I will not say much about the normal residence other than all the interactions occur more broadly, and the strongest interaction occurs in action and ABC, normal ABC terminal bound. We can see that the magnitude of the contributions to past population growth and the elasticity, meaning the potential to change population growth, they are an order of magnitude greater than they were for the south. And there is also evidence for hypothesis 2B, in this case, coastwide ocean abundance of ocean type stocks, right? They have a strong interaction with the survival of cats, juveniles, and newly collected females, and they have a relatively important contribution to the past variance in population growth, and they have an elasticity of 0.14. So what this is saying so far, we're going to use in one of the presentations tomorrow, then we are going to take what this elasticity is really mean in terms of population variability. And we can judge already by the lower values, by the low values of those elasticities, that even for the worst case scenario, the effect of population growth is expected to be small. So for tomorrow, we're going to incorporate that into a population viability analysis, and we are going to study what is there, to explore the influence of Chinook abundance on recovery and extinction probability. And that's it. Because we have to submit that report to the commission by February, we've been writing this material, and then we can provide something like that, some additional information.
Whatever you provide, real soon.
Yeah, I can send tonight. I can send.
Could you meet the presentation? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. When it came to this, to generate the elasticities, right, we are incorporating the variation in the vital rates. Right? So that variation observed in the vital rates, we are assuming that it's encompassing any kind of effect of Chinook. And now we're going to break down that for the next analysis. But right now, for this particular step in which we need to keep the added elasticity, that value has to be the same before and after implementation. Yeah, because this wasn't per se a simulation, right? But for the simulation, then we incorporate all the uncertainty derivation, uncertainty derivation. None of that goes into the equation. Yes. As depicted by those regressions.
But those regressions have got a single error.
Yes.
Everything processed during the observation error is all stacked in that.
Yeah, everything is stacked.
Stops are available to them is different, and then their actual reproductive rates are different. So have you tried to break that out, at least K and L versus J, or look at them separately?
Yeah, I was struck by that. But, I mean, for depending on the kind of question that you have, right? For the kind of question in which those stratifications were presented, makes sense for a demographic analysis, I wouldn't talk about, for example, the elasticity of part A, for example, because she's not an independent demographic unit. So for demographic analysis, I don't think that parts are, that the analysis at the pod level are appropriate. That goes with mainstream conservation biology. Right? There has to be a discrete demographic unit. And the minimum demographic unit that we have is the population as it is.
Antonio, good presentation. At the risk of descending into the correlation versus causation debate, let's stay away from that. But were you surprised by the result of the Southern Resident Hypothesis 2A that Puget Sound ocean abundance was, I don't know if significant is really the right term, but and the effect was clearly small, as you showed. But it seemed to contrast with the results of the diet studies that show the primary stock eaten by Southern residents is Fraser, certainly a lot more than Puget Sound. Did that strike you as a contrast?
Yeah, I mean, of course, when those results came out of the open, we said, I mean, what is this, right? I mean, what's the meaning of all of this? And so far we have a few hypotheses for the rejection of hypothesis 1A. And one is that, I mean, perhaps it's not the Southern abundance what is limiting population growth, but it can be the abundance of Chinook outside of those time periods, right? And for that, we have different information. Another hypothesis is that the signal is so weak because there may be other confounding factors, like toxicity was mentioned before, or other anthropogenic or environmental factors that are either masking the signal or minimizing the signal. So that's another hypothesis. And the other one is that, and this is based on the comparison with how many hits we got in the northern Pacific, right? So when we put that into perspective, it's obvious that there are predator-prey dynamics that are important for these fisheries, that on some conditions, those interactions are very important for resident fisheries, as shown for the northern community, right? And so maybe the reason why it's not been so important for the southern residents is coming back again to this fact that surely there are other confounding factors that we still haven't identified for. So basically, this is not evidence in disregard hypothesis 1A. It shows that it's showing that we don't have enough evidence to support that right now in this kind of analysis.
Just a quick comment. It would be really helpful to me, and I don't know about anyone else, but to have a really clear understanding of how what you presented here relates to what was presented in the last workshop. And I sort of want to think about maybe your write-up, some sort of a translation between what you've done here and what, for example, are you guys did before.
Well, this answers to the main question, I think so. One of the main questions leading to this workshop, which is, what is the sensitivity of killer whale biology or population dynamics to Chinook salmon abundance? So this kind of analysis has as a main objective to answer to that kind of question. I understand. No, it's not a different answer. I mean, many of the results that the work by Eric and colleagues found is that really you need to really maximize fishing scenarios to get a relevant effect. It's exactly what we are finding here. In that regard, I think that the two studies, departing from different modeling platforms, right, and the different sorts of assumptions, we are getting to very similar results. So, maybe was that I didn't have enough time to explain in detail for the. I know that much of this material, I'm going into elasticities and all of that thing, I mean, maybe new for some people, but I mean, an effort was made to communicate this in a friendly way.
Yeah, just a personal comment. I think given that there are slightly different model structures in terms of age, classes of ages, different time periods, 87 forward versus earlier, and slightly different methods. I think it would be interesting to do some further sensitivity analysis to, you know, first of all, are the results in fact the same, or if they're different, which of those model differences might be responsible?
So if I understand correctly, most of the work that Eric did, I think that the main findings are the same, right? More qualitatively, right? There may be difference in numbers, but in a qualitative manner, they are telling us that, I mean, we don't have enough information, basically, to think about educated changes in fisheries management.